Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
A rite of passage is a celebration of the passage which occurs when an individual leaves one group and enters another. And it involves a significant change of status in society. There are many formal examples of this kind of rite that are easily recognized in our culture, such as your first day of kindergarten, your high school graduation, the day you get your first job, your wedding day, or perhaps the day you retire after spending 30, 40, or 50 or more years as a member of the workforce. Now, oftentimes when I read the gospel appointed for today, it reminds me of a less formal rite of passage that my friends and I celebrated when we were growing up. I was raised in the desert, and as you can imagine, this time of year we spent a lot of time at the public pool. And the rite of passage I'm referring to took place between the small wading pool, which was less than 2 feet deep, and the large main pool, which was much, much deeper. Our summertime rite of passage looked something like this. When you were very young, your mom would take you to the pool. And then she would proceed to sit down like a mother hen and watch you as you splashed around in the shallow water of the wading pool. Now, as the years progressed, sooner or later the day came for that rite of passage. The day when your mom no longer went with you to the pool, but she'd just drop you off and you would hang out there with your friends all day long in the deeper, more adventurous, more challenging water of the main pool. There was no diploma, no first paycheck, and no rings were exchanged, but a rite of passage had occurred. Your position in society had changed. And as you looked back on the shallow water of the wading pool, you realized that was now part of your past. What you'd learned there was the foundation of this new, larger life. But it was clear that splashing around in that shallow water was no longer beneficial to your growth as a swimmer. And honestly, it wasn't even fun. In the shallow water, there are no cannonballs, no Marco, no polo, no contest to see who can tread the water the longest, and there's never any need to take a deep breath so that you can swim down to the bottom and get something that your friend had thrown in the pool. So the wading pool is no place for a mature swimmer. And I would suggest that the gospel of our Lord calls us out of the shallows and into the deep and mysterious waters of the fullness of the Christian faith. Our scripture reading this morning, it paints a vivid picture of Jesus standing by the Sea of Galilee. And the people there, they're pressing on him to hear the word of God. St. Luke tells us that Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Can you picture it? I mean, seriously, can you picture what's going on here? Here you have our almighty triune God in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word which spoke heaven and earth into existence, sitting in a boat in shallow water, sharing the life-saving, life-giving message of his gospel. Jesus speaks to this crowd in shallow water, like a parent who takes their toddler by the hand and leads them to the peaceful, shallow water of the wading pool. That's where it all begins. By the grace of God, through faith, the Good Shepherd takes us by his nail-scarred hand. He leads us beside still waters to the end that we may be washed by his most precious blood and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the beginning, the foundation. It's the cornerstone of larger life, and yet it's only the beginning. See, when Jesus stopped speaking to the crowd. When he had finished talking to the crowd in that shallow water, he switched gears and he turned his attention towards St. Peter, and he spoke in a completely different way when he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft." You see, Peter already had the foundation. He had met Jesus in that shallow water. His brother, St. Andrew, was a disciple of John the Baptist. And Andrew had come to faith when John revealed our Lord to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. And now shortly after the day they met, Jesus is calling Peter to larger life, to deeper faith, to closer discipleship. No longer will Peter's focus and attention be set on the things of this world, but on things above. For Jesus is calling Peter into the deep. He's calling him to take up his cross. And this day, Peter will forsake all and follow him. If you've been a Christian for more than a week or two, there's an important lesson in this passage. So often, by the grace of God, we come to faith in Christ in peaceful, shallow water. At that time, we're like St. Paul describes the Corinthians. We are babes in Christ. We're fed with milk and not with meat, for hitherto we're not able to bear it. The simple truth of the gospel, when spoken in plain language, it's like mother's milk to a newborn baby. Not only is it the perfect food, it's the only food that we can even process. This milk is the food that nourishes us, strengthens us, and helps us grow teeth, to the end that we may sink those teeth into solid food and grow out of infancy. For the day comes when every child must stop clinging to its mother. The day comes for every kid to leave the shallow water and launch out into the deep. Now, it's true that there are people in our society who are content to cling to their mother. There are people in our society who don't want to leave the shallow water of the waiting pool. But if you look around this room, you're not going to find that kind of person here. When we look around this room, we're going to see people who aren't content to be fed with milk forever. You're going to see people who've graduated college, successful business people, managers. We're going to see people who have money in the bank, who live in beautiful homes, who drive nice cars and big trucks. You're going to see people who just are not content in all those other parts of their lives to be fed with milk. So we must be certain that in our spiritual lives, we're not content to splash around in shallow water, for Jesus is calling us into the deep. We can't be people who are willing to take those great risks and reap the rewards socially, professionally, or financially, but who kind of settle to roll up our pants just above the knee and wade around in shallow water in regards to our spiritual life. What it comes down to is whether or not we truly believe the words of Holy Scripture. If we truly believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves us and gave himself for us, well, then doesn't it follow that our spiritual lives would be our first priority? And that our faith in Christ would be the driving force and the foundation of everything we are and everything we do? Consider the example of St. Peter. When Jesus tells him, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft," Peter responds, "Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, when we consider Peter's response to Jesus' invitation to deeper faith and closer discipleship, we should remember that in many ways, Peter's life was not so different than yours or mine. We get a glimpse into his life in the verses that precede our gospel reading. It's there we discover that one day Jesus entered into Simon Peter's house. And Simon's wife's mother was besought with a great fever, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. So we see that at the least, Peter had a wife and a mother-in-law living under his roof. Peter had a family that was depending on him. And as a professional fisherman, Peter had business partners that were counting on him as well. Peter was a man who worked all night and then spent time during the day maintaining his boat and washing his nets. Between work and family, he had a full plate. Therefore, when Jesus calls him to launch into the depths of the spiritual life, he had every earthly reason to say no. But he didn't. Peter didn't allow the responsibilities he had here on this earth to squash his spiritual growth. He didn't allow his busy life to get in the way of his love for or his obedience to the Son of God. Because he wasn't content to be fed with milk. He wasn't happy in the shallow water. So he took up his cross and he did what he had to do. He did what he was called to do, to draw nearer to God. If you want to draw nearer to God by taking those steps which lead to deeper faith and closer discipleship, I would suggest adding one word to your vocabulary. The word is nevertheless. Peter placed that one word between his objection and his obedience when he said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. From his limited perspective, Peter had a valid objection. Nevertheless, God is God, and we are not. We can't allow our spiritual growth to get sidetracked by fatigue or past failure. We can't let our busy, demanding lives keep us in a spiritual waiting pool. We have to obediently launch out into the deep. Our gospel reading this morning is our opportunity to learn from a saint. So I would suggest we do so. Follow Peter's example. If there's something holding you back, state it. State your objection. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And then obediently say, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will launch out into the deep, forsaking all to follow you." To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.